everybody. Welcome back to Popcorn Premieres. I'm your host, Logan Thompson, joined, as always, by...
our lovely co-host, Ethan Kaufman. Hey, hello, everybody.
Did you just call yourself lovely?
Yeah, I did.
That was very dishumble.
Got a problem?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dishumble.
Well, right I got there. A problem with you, because for all of our listeners who can't see, Logan Thompson just finally gifted me back the Jason Statham head that I was supposed to have all throughout this past week.
Yeah.
And I'm now going to get him this week, even though it's Logan's week, because I didn't have him last week. But upon receiving him, his facial hair is gone. And the little stand peg thing is like shoved fully up his brain. Logan destroyed the Jason Statham head. That's so yeah. If our chemistry this episode seems a little off, that's probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it gonna be because you're gonna be playing Cookie Clicker for like an hour?
No.
No?
No, definitely not.
That won't have any factor whatsoever. Anyway.
Not at all.
But we had a pretty big week in the industry.
Yes.
Two things happened last week after we recorded our episode, and those two things are CinemaCon and the announcement for the Cannes Film Festival lineup.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that we talk about it.
Let's
first,
do it.
We'll start with CinemaCon. So CinemaCon, there was not that much news at a CinemaCon this year, just because like we're in a very odd year where a lot of movies are being delayed. Not a lot of superhero movies were shown like at all. You know, apparently they only showed clips from like one Marvel movie, you know,
like which I think is a good thing.
That is a good thing, but just like it was a very different kind of year from what I saw in terms of like descriptions. And I don't mind it. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It just kind of sucks because, like, we're not going to get as many movies this year as we would, like,
right.
You know, as we will next year, because next year is going to be great. Anyways, though, so there was a statement made by the CEO of AMC that I thought was kind of interesting. He was claiming that, like, 2025 and 2026 movie slates were the ones that would cross, like, $10 billion, which would bring us a lot closer to pre-pandemic numbers, while, like, this year it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know how I feel about that. Because like 2018 and 19 specifically were insane box office wise.
Yeah.
And even though you're definitely going to have multiple heavy hitters throughout the next couple years, like what were there, $9 billion movies in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the volume, although who knows, because in time maybe we get there, but at least how this year's been looking, where even something as massive as Dune 2 is like several hundred million short of that mark. I don't know. And like superhero movies were really the big ones that were pushing movies that far box office wise. And modern audiences have just not been, you know, as favorable on them.
That's true. Yeah, I think if any year does end up crossing that 10 billion line, I could maybe see 2026.
Yeah.
Because 2026 will start off really strong because it's going to have Avatar 3 like kind of falling into that year. Plus, it's a year that looks to be a pretty solid year. I mean, you have the Batman 2 coming out that year. But even like 2025 could be decent. Like you have Blade. You got Wicked Part 2. If Part 1 is good, Part 2 could pop
off. I promise you,
off.
Blade and a Wicked Part 2 are not going to single-handedly get a $10 billion
There's more movies I was going to talk
there
about.
There are. Okay.
There's Utopia 2.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
There is The Fantastic Four.
Sure.
Superman Legacy.
That.
Jurassic World 4, directed by Gareth Edwards.
I don't understand why that's a thing.
Starring
but okay.
Scarlett Johansson.
For some reason.
How to Train Your Dragon live action.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mission Impossible 8.
Let's go.
Megan 2.
Sure.
Thunderbolts.
I.
Michael, which is like a Michael Jordan biopic, starring... like his
starring
nephew
Michael Jordan.
Yes. Or wait, did I say Michael Jordan accidentally? Yeah. Oh, I meant Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Starring Michael Jackson's nephew. Minecraft.
Minecraft with Jack Black.
And Fast X Part 2.
Let's go.
Snow White.
Snow White.
Starring Rachel Zegler. Yeah. A Ryan Coogler movie.
Okay.
Maybe a Jordan Peele movie. Mickey 17. You know Mickey 17 is going to be making billions of dollars. Paddington in Peru.
Let's go.
Yeah. Some big movies. Oh, and Captain America Brave New World with Harrison Ford. That. Oh, and last movie I'm going to mention, the Smurfs musical.
Right. Smurfs musical.
You know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm thinking that could make quadrillion.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking like more the septillion range.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think with these kind of things, very rarely will you see like a very bad year and then immediately a very good year. It's usually more gradual. And I think just where we are now and how this year is looking to turn out, I don't know. Like the summer movie season this year doesn't look amazing.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff, but I feel like a lot of it is more like stuff that as a, I don't know, as a film kid, I'm more looking forward to, not stuff that's going to break records.
Yeah, I mean, we could get surprises, though. Like, I feel like Oppenheimer was the type of thing that, like, nobody expected to be as big. And Barbie, too.
Do we really have anything like that, though, this year?
Well, that's the thing, though. We wouldn't know at this point.
But we would, because we knew both of those.
Well, no, but, like, we didn't know back then.
We didn't know they were going to be as successful as they were, but we figured they would be successful. We did know they were releasing on the same day. There's not, like,
well,
I don't know.
Let me give you
something. I'm
going
to argue with you,
Logan. Let me give you something. Horizon and American Saga, Part 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
Could get all the Yellowstone crowd. Could build a lot of hype, especially
in Kevin Costner,
that
has the really funny trailer.
Yes,
that's really dramatic.
Yeah, that one.
The one that when I was seeing Dune 2 with my grandparents, the trailer came on and they were like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
yeah.
I think all the grandparents are gonna go and see it.
Every grandparent, you know,
every grandparent in the world. You know, if we got every grandparent in America to go and see that duology,
yes,
then there we go.
Mm-hmm.
It would be huge.
Yeah,
I think if anything is like huge, it might be that.
Totally.
Also, Deadpool. Like that's a safe $1 billion movie.
Is it?
And Wolverine.
Is it?
I think so.
Maybe.
I think you're
probably.
Gonna get, I think you're gonna get a lot of the people that were like not watching Marvel for a few years being like, "Fine, I'll like go for this because it's Deadpool."
Maybe.
Yeah.
But even just from that like initial trailer, there's a lot of connections to Loki. People who haven't seen Loki might be confused.
Yeah, but they might also just kind of see it as like new characters.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a general question of like what's happening in the MCU that has happened ever since they started doing TV.
Yeah.
And I think it has cost them significantly.
Yes, I do agree. I guess we'll find out.
We'll see. No one likes doing homework.
No. Nobody likes doing homework. But I mean, if it does a good job explaining stuff without being too boring, I think
perhaps
we'll be fine. And I could see that happening. I could see like them doing the whole like kind of sequence explaining things, but in a funny way because it's Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least in Deadpool humor, whether or not you find Deadpool humor funny.
It's okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of okay too.
Yeah.
But you know what? If it makes money, great.
Good
Wonderful.
Stuff.
Good stuff. I don't want this industry to die because I want to work in
that.
Moving on to other points. Amazon and Apple skipped out on CinemaCon entirely.
Oof.
And that kind of sucks. Because that's probably because they're going to release a lot of movies on streaming.
Yeah.
Rather than theaters.
Ooh.
Look at Roadhouse. Look at The Idea of You coming out on Amazon and got like millions of views. I think like the most viewed streaming movie trailer ever.
Do they not want more money?
Yeah.
Like, I know we just talked about how movies in theaters aren't making a lot right now, but like that's free money.
I think the issue is that streaming is never gonna go like fully go away. I think studios are going to eventually realize, oh, streaming doesn't make sense profitability-wise for us. But corporations like Apple and Amazon, I think, will still do it
because they don't need it.
Well, not because of that. Also, just like to add an extra incentive for people to buy like their premium products that include Prime Video or that include Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
You know? Because like Prime is just, there's so much stuff that they offer. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of a part of the bundle and creating more incentives.
It is.
Yeah. So,
gosh,
I don't know.
Gosh darn it, Jeff Bezos.
It does suck. Yeah, Jeff Bezos, you created a monster.
Come on, Jeff.
This is terrible. Anyways, Ithaca alumni Bob Iger is now voicing this mantra of quality over quantity. And honestly, I kind of see that in the rest of this year's Disney slate. You have some pretty exciting stuff coming out between them and 20th Century Fox. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Hype.
Are you not excited for that?
I'm well, so hype.
Yeah, you just said hype. But yeah, Young Woman and the Sea. Have you seen this trailer?
I don't even know what this is.
So this is a movie starring Daisy Ridley about a woman who swam like the English Channel between like France and England, I think, or Ireland and England.
So Naiad.
One of the two. Yeah, Naiad starring Daisy Ridley.
Naiad, but Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, essentially. But Disney in the 2000s and 90s made so many of these like inspirational sports movies.
Yeah.
And then they just completely stopped in favor of IP and whatnot. So to see them coming back to this is honestly really exciting to me. And I think that this could kind of be like a sleeper hit.
Yeah.
Just because you'll get people seeing Disney and sports movie and have such fond memories of, like, those kind of movies.
Yeah.
Like Mighty Ducks, Miracle on Ice, and all those sorts of things.
It's got Jerry Bruckheimer producing. It's one of those.
It's one of those, yeah.
Lily James and Christopher Eccleston in the supporting cast?
Yep.
Fascinating.
I'm glad you're fascinated.
I'm fascinated by this.
Anyways, you should watch the trailer after we record this. It's not a bad trailer. Inside Out 2, that could make $1 billion.
That could.
Kinds of Kindness.
Yay!
Deadpool and Wolverine. Alien Romulus looks amazing. That trailer looked so good.
I gotta start watching more trailers when they come out.
And the summary is so interesting, too, because it's like, it's just like younger people dealing with the same thing as like the original movie, but like a new director, new director's take on it, starring Kaylee Spaney.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be awesome. A Real Pain, which is this movie with Kieran Culkin and Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Kieran Culkin is the selling point there.
Yeah.
Moana 2, $1 billion movie right there.
Yup.
And Mufasa. Mufasa could actually be good.
I agree with you. Do I think it will be? Not exactly, but could it be? Totally.
I mean, you got Barry Jenkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, this is his follow-up to Moonlight.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No, it's not.
What came between
Beale Street, right?
He did, okay.
He wrote and directed.
Yep, you're right. My bad.
Yay.
You're right.
Yay.
Okay. Well, then, in that case, this is his, like, film follow-up. I'm specifying film because he also made a TV show called The Underground Railroad. His film follow-up to, like, Beale Street and Moonlight. So, you know, this is just really exciting to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's like an original story as well. You know, it's not like, it's not like something that's already come out and it's not just a total remake.
Yeah.
And I'd say if this is good, I'd be really excited to see Disney do more things like this.
That's the thing is, I think, because Disney's been doing the live action remakes so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible, but it's because they're not putting anything original into them.
Exactly.
If they start doing that, I'm down for them.
Yeah. Like, I would much rather get live-action prequels, sequels, and,
totally,
like, spinoffs,
yeah,
than, like, just a total remake.
Yeah.
You know, like, what if we got, like, Ursula, you know, as a movie, rather than The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
I would have been more interested in that.
Me too.
Except if somebody else was playing Ursula that wasn't Melissa McCarthy. But anyways, yeah, I mean, that's just my take.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts?
Not on that.
Not on that. Okay, moving on. Studios have been emphasizing mid-budget films more.
Woo!
So this is awesome. That just means that we're going to be getting more movies.
Like The Beekeeper.
Like The Beekeeper, and that is mentioned here. I was saying that like movies like the success of Anyone But You, The Beekeeper, Evil Dead Rise are kind of changing some minds right now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love to see that. The Beekeeper is making a difference.
Yes.
Or was it none of that? It was a Cor Jefferson's Oscar speech.
Which was a damn good speech.
It was such a good speech. And that's literally what he was asking
Pretty
for.
Much.
He was just like, please give us more low or mid-budget films.
At the end of the day, if the quality is there, the audience doesn't need everything to be a giant blockbuster spectacle.
Exactly.
And like, it's in the best interest of studios mm-hmm. because they're not spending $300 million plus marketing on something that's going to bomb.
Yeah.
Please.
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 I think by 2030, we're going to be in a film market where they prioritize stars again.
I think
And I think stars are going to become yet again like the center of marketing and the center of why people see
these
movies.
I think we're headed there.
Yeah. Because like, look at Anyone But You, Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney, The Beekeeper, Jason Statham.
Yeah.
You know, our beloved. At the end of the day, he draws money.
He does.
He's great. That's why we love him so much. Evil Dead Rise is an exception, which I just threw in there.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't really a star behind that film. But, you know, just more like star-driven movies. And it'll be worth it.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of. Mid-budget type of films. Guess what was announced? Well, you know it was announced.
I do, it's on the document.
Yeah. A new Damien Chazelle movie.
Let's go.
Ethan, are you also a big fan of Damien Chazelle?
He is one of my favorite directors.
Yeah, he might be my favorite director.
I don't know if I would put him as my favorite, but I think the only reason I wouldn't is he just doesn't have as many movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so, like, the volume of all-time favorites isn't as strong as maybe a couple others, but, like, Whiplash is arguably top 5, top 10 of all time for mm-hmm. me. La La Land is like top 10, top 15 for me. I loved Babylon. I love him.
I loved Babylon too. It was great. And yeah, so what's nice is because a few months ago, there was an announcement that Damien Chazelle would be writing a musical for Matthew Vaughn to direct. And Matthew Vaughn, you know, that was right before, or no, that was the week after Argylle came out.
Oof.
And it was just like, what?
Yeah.
You're telling me that after Argylle, you're going to give this guy a musical written by, like, the greatest director working right now rather than just letting the greatest director working right now cook on his own script? What? And then, yeah. So it seems like maybe that's what they're doing. And if that's the case, then we got another Damien Chazelle musical on our hands that might take place in a prison.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be wonderful. I cannot wait.
Me neither.
Other little announcements that are kind of interesting. There's a Monopoly movie in development.
Sure.
With Margot Robbie's production company. A live action rated R Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie is in the works.
Nutso. Why?
Zack Snyder or Michael Bay. Who's directing it? What do you think?
Both of them.
Both of them? A duo? Okay. And finally, to round out this trifecta of other announcements, Five Nights at Freddy's 2.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is that 10 Nights at Freddy's?
Maybe. You know, double?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because it made a lot of money.
I know it was successful, but like, you know what? Sure.
I mean, maybe. It'll have a bigger budget.
It will.
Maybe they'll make it better.
Perhaps.
Maybe the second will be better than the first.
Now, why
the
they
first
would be
not great.
Why they would be compelled to make it better when the first one was at the level that I know it will. I haven't seen it, but I've seen many of people discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very successful despite its quality.
It was very successful, but I think that if the quality was better, it could have made like double the money. Because I think that what they got were fans of the franchise. People that were a fan of the franchise at some point in their lives. But there are just so many general horror fans out there.
Yeah.
And if you want to get them, you need to make a good movie.
Yes.
And if you get them plus the video game fans, that's a lot.
It's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That would be a huge horror movie.
Yeah.
Right there. And the first one was already big. But yeah, that's why I'm thinking that if they actually work on making it a quality film, you know, could be something.
It could be something.
Anyways, moving on to Cannes. We have a few films that are in competition I wanted to talk about. There's a whole list of them, which you can look up online if you want to see all of the films. I just thought that there were a few that were more notable. And I just want to call back to myself really quickly.
Oh.
On a point or a thought that I think I stated on an episode at some point.
Yes.
Which is that I think that the movie that's going to win Best Picture is also going to win Palme d'Or.
Really?
So I think one of these 18 films in competition is going to be the Best Picture winner.
I, at this point, would disagree with you. Mm-hmm. But if it does end up happening, I will not be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I just, my thoughts behind it are just like, after the success of Anatomy of a Fall, The Zone of Interest, Parasite, in a year that looks like it's going to be pretty weak.
It's a very weak year for film overall, and it looks to be a very good lineup at Cannes.
Exactly. So, and I think we have a few films here that could definitely be huge contenders.
Totally.
If they win. And these are all English language films that I have on here. So this is not, aside from maybe the last one.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, if there ends up being a foreign language film that's also excellent, then I could see it being that too.
Yeah.
I just don't know foreign directors foreign actors, so I didn't have as much to talk about foreign films, which is why I didn't really include any here. Or these are foreign films. Some of these are foreign films, but just not, like, non-English foreign films. There we go. Anyways, first movie, Ethan. Do you want to say it?
Megalopolis.
Yeah.
Which we've already talked about on here.
We have.
And it speaks to how big a film it is going to be.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, I'm now hearing things out of that first screening that it's kind of like Apocalypse Now in terms of, like, its initial reception. And if that's the kind of movie this is, just in quality.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I know, because it was screened a couple times, and one was specifically for studio executives, and it was very divisive with them.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the quality of the film, but because of how unmarketable it sounds.
Yeah.
Which is so compelling and fascinates me as someone who looks forward to stuff.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see this film. Part of me is a little worried, though. That these executives are almost just kind of being nice and being like, oh, it's unmarketable. Like, it's,
and they actually just don't like it.
And they actually think it's, like, terrible.
It might be. You know? We don't know.
Yeah. So part of me is worried that it could just end up being awful.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll see. And I have high hopes. And if this movie is good,
look out.
Like, really look out.
Yeah.
Like, I think if this movie is genuinely as good as, like, Coppola's best films, or even close,
right,
we're going to have 3 straight years of sweeps at the Oscars.
Totally.
Which would suck, but also, like, Coppola would deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Coppola.
It is.
Yeah. Anyways.
Moving on. The Apprentice.
Yeah. Sebastian Stan has never looked so good.
As Donald Trump.
Yes.
In the 80s.
In the 80s.
So hype.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Strong, perfect. You've seen Succession, right?
My boy Kendall Roy.
Yes. Yeah.
My number one boy.
We are getting some big Succession stuff this year in movies. We got this, The Apprentice, and then we got A Real Pain.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so hyped.
These Succession people, they're going to be a real pain for other people at the Oscars.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Haha.
Funny.
That was a really good
pun,
joke there.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a really funny guy. But if this movie ends up being good.
Yeah.
Especially because we're in an election year.
Totally.
Like, that would just be.
The timing
crazy.
Is very good.
Yeah. It's very intentional.
Totally.
Yeah. This was like very intentional timing. But. What I'm almost curious about is because you're not doing a Trump biopic now, you're doing a Trump biopic, like, in, like the 80s.
Right. And from what I know, it's like much more about like his real estate ventures than anything political.
I'm almost wondering if they do something like what's that trilogy, the one with Ethan Hawke?
The Before Trilogy?
Yeah, the Before Trilogy. Like the Before Trilogy.
Like they make three different Trump movies and they all take place at different points.
Yes. And they wait like 10 years between each one or even longer and just wait until Sebastian Stan gets older. Yeah. You know, just imagine a Trump.
The Trump Trilogy.
Yeah, the Trump Trilogy.
Fascinating.
Make it happen.
Please make it happen.
That would be amazing.
Assuming it's good, then make it happen.
I mean, if it's playing at Cannes... And distributed by Neon.
Yeah.
And starring Sebastian Stan.
I would assume
pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sebastian Stan only takes good scripts.
Like, I feel like Jeremy Strong's performance, knowing nothing about it, is gonna be like very similar to like a Glenn Howerton in Blackberry.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm so hyped.
And that would also just kind of be similar to Kendall Roy.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the other thing, too. I would not be surprised if, like, Jeremy Strong's performance and, from what I've heard with Kieran Culkin's, are, like, just their Succession characters in a different movie.
Right.
And I don't mind that.
Me neither. Like, yeah. Jeremy Strong as Kendall Roy is one of my favorite performances of all time in anything.
Yeah.
And so, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Kieran Culkin's also is right up there. I think Jeremy Strong's is a little better because it's a little more subtle.
Yeah.
But still. Anyways, especially his season four performance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Season two and three, he was a little lacking. But
he's a little lacking. He's always cooking.
Yeah, but he cooked real hard in season four. Anyways, we are going by really slowly, so I'm going to try to pick up the pace.
Yeah.
Bird. By Andrea Arnold.
Who is awesome.
I have not seen any of her movies.
American Honey is so, so good. Please watch it.
Okay. I'll definitely check it out. Seems like a really interesting movie.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like to be a, you know, growing up, coming of age type of film. Because the main character is like a kid character.
Yeah.
But supporting characters are Barry Keoghan.
Everyone's favorite little freaky boy.
Both of them are freaky boys. We got the two freaky boys.
Yeah.
One, the American, or sorry, the, how would I say it? The English freaky
He's
boy.
He's English?
Like British, yeah.
British.
Or Irish. British? He's Irish. So the Irish freaky
Irish?
Boy. Yes. And the French freaky boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who's going to be the freakier boy? I guess we'll find out. Franz Rogowski plays Bird. You know, the name, title character right there. So I'm going to assume that they both give really solid performances. And
they're both solid actors.
They both are. I would really hope for I would really hope for a Rogowski Oscar nomination if possible.
That'd be cool.
Because I thought his performance in Passages was one of the best of the year.
I still haven't seen Passages. I really want to.
It's really good.
I've heard.
It's so sexual.
I've heard that.
But it's really good. It was the first movie I ever talked about on this podcast.
Really?
Yep.
That's a very interesting first movie to talk about.
I had my friend Caleb Kakowski, who is now the president of DKA. Woohoo, Caleb. And anyways, so we talked about Passages and Bottoms.
Bottoms.
Yeah. So that was a fun conversation. Fun episode. First episode ever of Popcorn Premieres. But anyways. Yeah.
Anywho.
Do you have any more thoughts?
No more thoughts.
No more thoughts? Amelia Perez.
Which I hadn't heard about for the first time until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see this.
Yeah. I'm going to like be letting you know how some of these movies are.
Please
like,
do.
What were we right about and what were we wrong about? Like, do you just want to describe it?
I'll let you take it.
Okay. It's a musical starring Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez.
Yes.
And it's like a crime thriller, lawyer thriller type of deal.
Zoe Saldana is like a corrupt lawyer, right?
Yeah. And like Selena, we don't know who Selena Gomez is yet, but like I think it's genius when people cast singers in musicals. Like I'm surprised it doesn't happen a lot more because at the end of the day, they got the voice for it.
They do.
So I expect some good things out of this movie. Probably not an Oscar-y movie, because the director
not, but
isn't.
It's like,
yeah,
it Doesn't need to be. It'll be a good movie.
Yeah, it'll be a good movie. Yeah. And yeah, the director is not really an Oscar-y director, which is why I was thinking that. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. But anywho, moving on. Anora.
Sean Baker.
Sean Baker movie. Definitely not an awards movie as well, because it's like a comedy following sex workers, but who cares? It's a Sean Baker movie.
Mikey Madison's in it, right?
Yeah.
Who has been set on fire many times. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Scream 5. It's like her thing.
So will she get set on fire again?
Perhaps. We have the Trump trilogy, and now we have the Mikey Madison getting set on fire trilogy.
Yeah. And I mean, if it doesn't happen in this movie, it'll happen.
She'll make it happen.
Please get set on fire one more time. Maybe like her hand or something will get set on fire, okay. But not like all of her. Like, would that count?
I don't know. I feel like it has to be like this whole all-encompassing
fire.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Sean Baker.
Moving on to David Cronenberg.
Yes.
Yes. Are you a Cronenbergian?
I feel like I haven't seen enough David Cronenberg films, but Little Cronenberg has been doing great lately.
He has.
Infinity Pool's awesome. Yeah. Possessor's awesome.
I have not seen Possessor.
Possessor's really fun.
I'm a fan of Infinity Pool.
Yeah.
Big fan of that movie. But yeah, so David.
David.
This is his longest movie.
How long is it?
I don't know off the top of my head.
What?
I think it's like 2.5 hours. But I can fact check this really quickly. I'm pretty sure 2.5 hours. Because he makes all these body horror movies. So, yeah. You know, it's hard to make it longer. No, never mind. It's only 1 hour and 19 minutes. Ooh. So this guy makes short movies.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, 1 hour and 19 minutes. And that's his...
1 hour and 19?
Or no, sorry.
2 hours and 19.
I was reading it as 119. Like, it says 119.
It's 119. Yes. That's his longest?
Yeah, so 1 hour and 59 minutes is his longest movie. All right. Apparently, that was what all the headlines said.
All right.
So, yeah.
But all right.
He's the director of, like, The Fly, Videodrome. Yeah. I've seen Videodrome and then Crimes of the Future.
I have seen Crimes of the Future and I've seen The Dead Zone for some reason.
The Dead Zone?
Yeah.
That's not even in his, like, top it's 8 It's not, most no. watched. Jeez.
I don't know why I picked that one.
Of all the ones, you pick, like, just the random one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Good for me.
And picking the random one.
Yep.
But, you know, he hasn't just... It feels like he hasn't made a super notable film in a while. You know, like, people actually really like Crimes of the Future. I didn't realize how, like...
They do.
I didn't realize it had a 3.3 on Letterboxd. I assumed it got lower than that because I thought it was not too great. It just felt so exposition-y.
It felt very empty.
Yeah, that too.
But like the makeup and prosthetics were so cool.
Yeah, no, the makeup and prosthetics were awesome.
Yeah. And when that got shortlisted for the Oscars, I got so excited.
Yeah, no, that would have been an amazing nomination. But oh well, Oscars, you know, Cronenberg's too cool for them.
Yep.
But, Anywho. This could be interesting.
Yeah.
The plot's pretty interesting. You know, it's a businessman, like, in, like, a graveyard who builds, like, this machine to connect with the dead, essentially.
Sounds very Cronenberg.
Yeah, sounds very Cronenberg. And I'm curious how he's going to depict, like, the dead. Like, will we go to, like, hell or something like that? That could be really interesting. And the cast. Good cast.
Good cast.
You know? So... I'm just hoping it's better than Crimes of the Future.
You really don't like Crimes of the Future.
I want a movie where it feels like a movie and not like a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
Because Crimes of the Future just felt very booky.
Yeah.
Just felt like everything was like explained and told, and it did do showing, but not after telling me 3 times as much as it showed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my feelings.
But all fair.
Anyways, next movie.
Moving on.
Kinds of Kindness.
Oh, yeah.
It's Yorgos.
Here we go.
That's kind of all I have to say.
I am getting more excited about this by the day.
Really?
It looks so good.
It does. I agree.
And I've accepted the fact that I don't think it's going to do well at the Oscars, but I really don't need it to.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Emma Stone driving that purple car.
That is just majestic. Just the can announcement of her just dancing.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
Like, the marketing, I think, has been great.
Yeah.
Because I think
they know what we want.
Yeah, but they also know how weird this movie is. So they're showing us, like, nothing.
Right.
Because, you know, you need to get the people that saw Poor Things to see this movie. Because Poor Things, compared to this, is going to be tame.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is going to be insane.
It looks off the walls. It's an anthology, which makes it even harder to decipher what any images in the teaser mean.
Exactly.
Because some of them probably won't even connect to each other.
Exactly. And it's just like, I mean, we'll see. I expect this movie to be really good.
Me too. But,
and also, the poster with, like, the thumb cut off, a broken electric fly swatter, and then a bunch of hands kind of, like, holding each other, trying to grab a drop of what looks like water or something, with, like, the blood gushing out from the middle of all the hands. Like, there's some freaky stuff going on in this movie. And it's going to be, like, really interesting to be like, oh, that's the finger. Oh, that's fly swatter. Oh, that's when they all hold hands and they bleed. Yeah.
So hyped.
It's going to be a weird movie. And, yeah, it'll be great.
I like my movies weird.
I'm glad that you like your movies weird, Ethan.
Yeah, I like some other things weird, too.
Oh.
You can cut this part out.
Okay. Oh, Canada. Paul Schrader. Jacob Elordi.
Yes.
Paul Schrader is now kind of leaving his Lonely Man trilogy.
Aww.
So this is going to be a new kind of movie from Schrader, presumably.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that because I just feel like I'm so used to, like, that tone from the other Schrader movies. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be interested to just see, like, a different kind of movie here.
The only one out of those three I've seen is First Reformed, but I love First Reformed so much.
I've seen the other two except First Reformed.
Okay, First Reformed is, like, the best thing ever. You should watch it.
Okay, because I know that one's supposed to be a lot better than the other two. I'll try to watch it at some point.
It's a tough watch, but it's
very
good.
They're all tough watches.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Jacob Elordi's in this.
I love how much he's been getting to do lately.
Yeah. And, like, he's doing a lot of stuff with, like, good directors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Euphoria cast has really kind of been eating.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the only person who I feel like I haven't seen in anything is the person who plays Jacob Elordi's girlfriend.
Maddie?
Yeah.
Alexa Demi?
Yeah.
She was in Waves? She hasn't had much to do, but like
recently.
But like between Jacob Elordi, Zendaya, Hunter Schafer, really, in like the last little bit.
Yeah, Hunter Schafer, like now.
A lot of Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. So let's see if Maddie gets stuff to do.
Yeah.
I forgot her name, even though you just said
Alexa Demi.
Alexa Demi. There we go. Hopefully she gets more to do. But everybody else is eating.
Oh, and she was in a background shot in The Idol.
A background
as an extra. She like showed up for 5 seconds
in The Idol,
in the first episode of The Idol. Sorry for mentioning The Idol.
Yeah,
I know it's like one of the things that we've pledged to never talk about.
That just made me really sad.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyways, in other words, I'm also excited for O Canada because it was apparently shot in Simona's hometown,
which is fascinating.
Yeah, like
fun fact,
like she knew people, like it's people who are listening. Simona is my girlfriend. And, like, 5 minutes from her house, Jacob Elordi was getting pizza and taking pictures with people that she went to high school with.
Crazy.
I was so mad. Because it was, like, September here. And I was like, oh, my
Dang.
God. Like, do any of these people even, like, know who Paul Schrader is? Probably not. I'd go up to Jacob Elordi and be like, yo, how's it working with Paul Schrader?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, my God, nobody else has asked me that because these are all high school losers.
Except he'd say it in his awesome Australian accent.
Yeah,
it would be
exactly.
amazing.
Because Jacob Elordi would definitely say that. And
I'm not
fantasizing being, like, you know, complimented as a film nerd.
He loves hashtag cinema more than either of us.
Probably.
Totally.
Yeah. He's in.
Have you heard him talk about movies?
I have not.
Bro really likes movies.
Really?
Really likes movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Anyway. Moving on to the final movie I want to talk about. It's this movie called Limonov.
Something like that.
And the summary for this movie is wild. It follows this one character, Limonov, in like New York, in Russia, I think Germany.
Yeah.
And just like, look at the poster for this movie. And the poster for this movie says it all, that Ben Whishaw will probably be giving the performance of his life.
Totally.
Are you looking at the poster?
I'm trying to find it.
Okay. Look up Limonov Cannes 2024, probably, and you'll find it.
Yes, this.
Yeah. Like, can't you just tell?
He is going to be off the walls.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited.
Like, that could be best actor right there.
Yeah.
Because Ben Whishaw is, like, well-known enough to get a nomination.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was in James Bond.
He was.
So I think that James Bond clout really help him.
And, of course, he's Paddington from Paddington 2, the greatest movie ever.
Oh, wait, he voices Paddington?
He voices Paddington. You didn't know this?
I didn't know this.
He is the voice behind the protagonist of the best movie ever made, Paddington 2.
That's amazing.
And also the first Paddington, which is also very good.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Paddington 2 in a while.
But you have seen it.
I did see Paddington, like, earlier in this year.
But you've seen Paddington 2 throughout the course of your life.
Yeah, but I was very ungrateful towards it and thought it sucked because I was a boy who thought he was too cool for Paddington 2.
Is that in your gold chain era?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That was my gold chain era.
That explains it.
Sixth or seventh grade me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah.
Then we saw the Emoji Movie a few months later, and that sucked too. And I was like, oh, wait, this is worse than Paddington 2. Oh, my God.
I would hope so.
And I did not realize that I was, like, the only person in the world who didn't like Paddington 2 because I was like, yeah, I'm too cool for this movie.
You and Armand White, who gave it a negative review and dragged it from its 100% on Rotten Tomatoes to 99. Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Armand White, you suck.
Hate that guy.
Hate that guy, too. Armand White, what a negative dude.
He lives in a certain circle of infamy.
Mm-hmm. Auction updates. We don't really have that many updates from this weekend.
We don't. However, I did.
How do you feel about Civil War? Oh.
I updated our little spreadsheet that we have.
Okay.
Because I guess it was it CinemaCon where some stuff screened?
No, South by Southwest, most of the stuff screened.
Yeah. We now have at least very loose letterboxed ratings for everything except good old Rebel Moon Part 2.
Oh, wait. Rebel Moon Part 2 does have letterboxed ratings, but not enough for like
Yeah, not enough
average.
To actually display a rating.
Yeah. But people are saying it's just as bad as the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you look to be narrowly ahead of me in terms of audience and critical reception.
Okay.
So there's a chance I could beat you, but I don't know. Box office, because Civil War did outperform projections, so that definitely helps me a little bit. And then you've got a big weekend coming up.
I do.
You've got a very big weekend.
I have a huge weekend.
If you do well this weekend, you genuinely have a good shot to win.
Yeah. But I don't think Sasquatch Sunset for box office, unless the numbers does projections for it, which I don't think it will, I think should just count as a zero.
No, we'll find our projections elsewhere.
Okay, you'll find projections somewhere. All right.
I still need to figure out what we're going to do with the Netflix movies.
Moving on.
Box office.
Here we are. 50 minutes into recording.
God dang.
Yeah. So, number one. It's not a movie from Disney, not a movie from Universal, or Warner Bros., or Sony, or any of the major studios that typically provide you the number one movie at the box office for a week. Today, or this weekend.
This weekend.
Number one is a movie out of A24.
Let's go.
Civil War.
What did you think of this movie that we saw together, side by side, like partners in crime?
Yeah, this was the first movie that we're going to be talking about ever that we saw together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It's pretty cool.
Because I still don't know what you thought.
3.5.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's what you thought too,
That
right?
is also what I thought.
I feel like the pacing was off for me. I think that was kind of the biggest part.
That's fair.
This film was very episodic.
Felt like a video game.
A little bit.
Not inherently a bad thing.
Yeah.
But here I don't know if it worked entirely.
Yeah, I don't know if it just like, I wish it was more structured differently, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Because the way that like, it was just kind of a road trip through America, and it just kind of made these pit stops.
It felt like The Last of Us without zombies.
Yeah, it felt a lot like The Last of Us. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. The score literally was very right much out of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the music choices, too.
I did not like the music choices.
I did not like them, but I kind of saw the intention.
I saw the intention. I just don't think they worked.
Yeah, I don't think they worked either. What I did like is the way that they cut the music choices, though, where the music, it wouldn't start, like, properly. It would start at an odd frame, and I really liked that choice because it just, it made things feel just more uneasy and whatnot. Yeah.
I think for me, I also went 3.5. For me, it was how apolitical it is, which I know is the point because, like, you're following war photographers. And so getting into the politics doesn't really work when you have that being who's at the center of your film.
Yeah.
I just think, one, I was so interested to see, because it's like, on top of being an A24 blockbuster, which is like the first time we've gotten one, it, just in terms of a concept, it was really cool. And I don't think they did anything with it. Like, we never find out why they're fighting. Really?
Oh, no, we did.
Not really.
I mean, the president was like a tyrant. And he was airstriking civilians. And
it like sounds like that was happening, people, though, like after they revolted.
Well, it to me, it sounded like they were doing, he was doing stuff like that before. And then he just kept doing it after anyways.
Is that ever like confirmed?
I mean, I just don't think that they talk about it enough. I think it's just like a little dialogue point.
Yeah. Whatever the case.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted a little more out of it.
That's fair. To me, I was just kind of like, I kind of liked the apoliticalness. I thought it worked. And I also, I could honestly see Texas and California allying if a president was literally like assassinating people, you know, and like just killing them for no real reason and just holding power like that. I think they also said he was in, like, his fourth term or something.
Third, yeah.
Maybe.
I think it was third. Just but, like, okay. Regardless.
Yeah. And, like, then.
That doesn't usually happen.
No, that doesn't usually happen. You know, aside from Kennedy.
That.
Yeah.
That.
Or not Kennedy.
That, not that.
Roosevelt. That's what I was thinking of. Yes. I mixed up my political families.
How
I'm sorry.
How dare you.
And, yeah, so, anyways, I thought it was kind of interesting. I think
it was okay.
Yeah. Could it have been better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
And I want to see A24 make like an actual action kind of movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is happening because I'm pretty sure they are having the Filippo brothers make a Street Fighter movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel like that would be really interesting.
Funky.
Because, like, we've seen good action bits from A24. Like, the action here, when it was there, was great. It was very well done. The action in Everything Everywhere was really
amazing.
Good. Yeah, I just think letting stylized directors just go all out with action sequences, I think would be incredible.
Totally.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see that happen because I'm sure that they're going to try doing that.
Yeah.
Moving on. Oh, actually, I did have a couple more points.
Yeah.
My bad. So this is their highest opening.
Yeah.
For A24. Almost double their previous one.
Which is nuts.
Pretty nuts. Yeah, the previous one was Hereditary. A really big chunk of that came out of IMAX. 16.5%.
Makes sense.
Finally, Garland, what are you doing? Because you're saying, during your campaign to promote this movie, you're done directing. You're sick of it. You know he's directing a movie called Warfare, set during the Iraq War, that goes into production next month. He's set to co-direct this movie.
You know what? Maybe he was just confused. Maybe. He just, like, rolled out of bed, didn't really have his answers to his questions straight. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe for some reason he thought this would work in the promo.
maybe.
People, he was like, oh, like, people,
oh, it's the
go.
Final Alex Garland film.
Yeah, because Alex Garland movies are seriously a box office draw.
Yeah.
That's totally. That's sarcastic. Totally. I don't think an Alex Garland, like, the biggest opening for Alex Garland before this movie was like Annihilation, which made 11.1 million. So, yeah, huge box office draw.
Absolutely.
Now we can move on.
Okay.
Godzilla X-Con, 15.5 domestic, and now at a worldwide total of $436.5 million. A lot of money.
Money.
Warner Bros. Is the first studio this year to cross $1 billion, just like studio-wise.
That's just between this and Dune?
Yep. So
good job,
yeah,
WB.
Good for them. Also, I think including, I don't know if it includes Wonka carryover into this year or not, but if it does, then that too. Either way.
Either way.
Good for Warner Bros. Ghostbusters. You love this movie.
I totally love this movie. Why is it here? Why is it still here?
It's holding really well.
I don't like that.
People seem to like this movie.
Stop though. Liking it.
$5.8 million domestic this weekend. 160 worldwide total. And, you know, it's holding so well right now that I wouldn't be too surprised if we got another Ghostbusters movie.
Groan.
Glad that you.
I'm sorry. This is the one that I am against. Yeah. You know this.
I know that.
This has been the case for weeks.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm curious what your next one's going to be.
What is my next one? Anything that you picked for the auction, I'm primed against.
Well, yeah, but like your next, like, just genuine movie that you're going to hate after Ghostbusters.
I don't know.
Because it was Argyle.
It was Argyle.
And then Ghostbusters.
And now it's this.
So what's it going to be?
Do we have another? I don't really think we have
Garfield?
Another.
Garfield?
I mean, I'm not going to be Garfield's biggest fan, but I don't know if I'm going to be, you know.
You're not going to hate Garfield?
I don't think so.
You don't think you're going to hate Garfield?
I don't think I'm going to be out there, you know, committing hate crimes against Garfield fans.
The newest Bad Boys movie with Will Smith?
They could be worse boys.
They could. I mean, one of them slapped somebody at the Oscars, so that's pretty bad.
But also that person was Chris Rock, who's responsible for Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Yeah.
What's a Book of Saw?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Moving on. Kung Fu Panda 4?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
$5.5 million domestically, $452.6 worldwide total. And we called it.
We did.
It's plateaued.
It has.
And it's continuing to plateau.
Fall of less than 30%.
Love to see that. Dune Part 2 up next. $4.3 million domestically, $683.9 worldwide total.
I don't think it's getting there. I don't think it's getting there.
You don't think it's getting to 700?
I don't think it's getting there. It'll be close. I don't think it's getting there.
I feel like there's only 16 left.
There's only 16 left, but like...
Here and worldwide? Wait, where was it last week? Dune 2, 660.7.
Oh.
Now it's at 683.
Oh, then it'll definitely get there.
Yeah, so it made 23 this weekend worldwide.
Yeah, it'll get there.
Yeah. So
ignore what
week.
I said.
Yeah. So, Ethan, yeah, you change your mind?
Yeah.
You sure?
I didn't know what it was at last week.
Yeah.
It will get there.
Well, there you go. Now you're making a decent take.
Yep. Thanks.
Monkey Man.
$4.1
million.
Because I wasn't there. It needed me.
It did need you. You need to
and
see
it needed
this movie.
You for a third time.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I don't know why. First Omen also needed me for a third time.
Totally.
They both did. Or second time for First Omen. But they're both so good. Like, these are two really good movies.
I'm going to see them at some point.
And it sucks that nobody's going to see them.
I know. I'm part of the problem.
You are. $4.1 million domestically for Monkey Man. $22.8 worldwide. Luckily.
That is not a stronghold.
Universal only paid $10 million for this.
Still.
So worldwide, it's not a huge flop.
Still.
Yeah.
Still.
Still is right. I would say the movie that's looking a little better would probably be The First Omen.
Yeah.
Because even though The First Omen's made only 3.7 domestically this weekend, it's done really well internationally. Mm-hmm. And is at 35.4 worldwide.
Good job, First Omen team, crew.
So, yeah. Overseas, wonderful. Thank you for helping my boy, The First Omen, out. Because that's a really good movie. And
I'm sure it is. Yeah,
it makes me sad when people are not watching good movies.
People like me?
Yes.
Thanks.
Next up is The Lawn Game.
Oh.
$1.4 million domestically with no reported international gross. This movie came out of nowhere. It's about a Mexican high school golf team becoming the Texas State champions. Dennis Quaid plays the coach. And we might be talking about Dennis Quaid a lot later this year because he's going to be playing Ronald Reagan
sure.
in a Reagan biopic.
How many president biopics are we getting this year?
Two.
That's more than usual.
Yeah, and it's the two presidents that had the mantra, make America great again.
That.
Yeah.
So cinematic universe?
Maybe. Maybe there's going to be like a Dennis Quaid will show up during The Apprentice.
POTUSCU?
Oh, President of the United States Cinematic Universe.
Haha, funny.
Anyways, moving on.
Shrek 2!
Do you realize?
Shrek 2! this was the thing.
Yeah, this was the movie I was talking about. Like, what?
By the way, can I admit something crazy? Yes. I have never seen Shrek 2.
I haven't either.
Okay.
Or no, I have when I was like a kid.
All right.
But, like, I don't remember seeing Shrek 2.
Okay. I feel like that makes it a little better that I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So, like, I've seen it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shrek 2!
So, like, it's just here.
Not
like,
Shrek 1. Shrek 2!
Ooh, sequel.
I have seen Shrek Forever After, though. Banger. Banger film.
I'm glad that you like Shrek Forever After.
The Pied Piper? Rumpelstiltskin? Are you kidding me? John Hamm voices an ogre? Why? You kidding
just
me?
Just cause.
Are you kidding me? It's crazy yeah. film.
Isn't that wonderful?
Cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Final movie. A movie called Sting made $1.2 million.
Sting from the Police?
What do you mean from the Police?
The main guy in the band, the Police? Sting?
I've never heard of the band.
He played Fade Rotha and David Lynch's Dune, among other things.
I like briefly remember that because I have seen David Lynch's Dune.
Shape of My Heart? No.
Nope, not ringing a bell.
Dang it!
I know that's very sad, but yeah. So made very weird numbers for this movie because Box Office Mojo says it made 600,000 or. Maybe less than that in other
487.
Places. 487. Other places are saying it made like 1.2. So I stuck with other places just because, you know, to be optimistic. But anywho. Now, with all that being said, we got our fallen heroes.
I'm not going to sing the
top 10. You're not?
I'm not going to sing.
Okay.
My throat hurts.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Oh well.
I've been ingesting the blood of my enemies too much. Mm-hmm.
So
you
yeah,
know how it is.
Your throat's in a lot of pain. I understand. Yeah. Anyways, well, Fallen Heroes out of the top 10. A movie called Anyone, or I think I wrote Anyone But You,
you
but
did.
It was a different movie.
That's not the movie.
That's not Anyone But You. And I don't know why I wrote Anyone
why
But You.
Why did you do that?
Now
someone
I need to
like
find,
you.
I need to. Someone like you. There we go.
The Adele song.
Yes. Someone like you. 1 weekend in the top 10. 4.86 domestic and no reported international gross.
What a loser.
Thanks, Ethan. Arthur the King. Movie that we've talked about for a little while.
A little bit.
Never going to talk about it again. Never going to remember this movie. 4 weekends in the top 10.
What if I revealed I was a cat person?
Are you a cat person?
No, I'm a dog person. But
I'm like a both. A mm-hmm. little bit more dog.
I'm
than
not
cat.
A Mark Wahlberg person, though.
That's fair.
So
he's apparently not
unless
the
he's playing
guy.
Unless he's playing Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights, then I'm a Mark Wahlberg guy.
Okay. What about him in like The Departed?
He's good in The Departed.
Corrupt cop.
Yeah.
He's pretty good in that.
He's fun there.
Anyways. $27.6 million worldwide. Good for Mark.
Good job, Marky Mark.
Wicked Little Letters, one weekend in the top 10. It's a pretty fun movie. Hasn't made a lot of money domestically, but overseas, because this is a British movie, it has, like, total worldwide made $19.4 million. And finally, last but not least, speaking of Euphoria stars, we got one falling out of the top 10. Sydney Sweeney with Immaculate. Three weekends in the top 10. $21 million worldwide total. And this movie has now passed Anatomy of a Fall to become Neon's fifth highest grossing film.
What a lovely stat.
Yeah. Good for this movie.
Good job.
It's gotten up there, you know? And those, it's probably...
Those nun horror movies. Yeah. They'll get you.
Especially with Sydney Sweeney, apparently. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so good for this film.
Yes.
It's not going to get higher than fifth because the other one's at like 33 million or something like that, which this movie's not going to make another $12 million.
Nope.
But still. Anyways, remember when I said that fun stat about Love Lies Bleeding last week? Well, A24 didn't think that that stat was fun, so Love Lies Bleeding is just not in theaters anymore.
Yeah.
So that's my follow-up.
They got mad they were still doing okay?
Apparently.
All right.
Or they're just like, it costs
bitter
money to keep these out.
That's
here.
True.
Yeah. Anywho, next weekend, theatrically, we got three movies,
yes,
all of which I own in the auction.
Yeah.
Abigail, $12 to $22 million projections. And this is for Jason Statham.
This is for Jason Statham. Where are you going?
No,
where are you going?
Where
because
you
damaged
going?
Jason, so I think you should have to go first.
18.
You said 18?
Mm-hmm.
17. Awesome, great. What's next?
Okay. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
I keep wanting to call it Ministry of Ungentlemanly Welfare.
Really?
Yeah.
And why don't you?
Because that's not the title. This is going to make $8.7 million.
That's your projection?
Yeah.
8.6.
Oh, that's just my prediction, basically.
Yeah.
How about some original thought, Sir Thompson?
I'm good. I feel good about my
I don't
prediction.
Think you do. I think you feel good about my prediction.
If anything, this should actually be the Jason one.
No.
No.
Why? Because it's Guy Ritchie?
It is Guy Ritchie.
I know.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No.
You don't want it to
That's,
be?
No.
No, even though it's
per,
Guy Ritchie.
Per the terms of our joint custody agreement, it is whatever the bigger movie is.
Okay. What if this ends up being the bigger
it
movie?
It won't be. Sasquatch Sunset.
That's another movie coming out.
Yep.
And we see some Sasquatches doing some interesting
some
deeds
yeah.
in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a movie of Sasquatch doing Sasquatch things.
Yep.
And I can't wait.
Yeah.
I think that $27 I spent on this movie was worth spent.
Oh, totally.
Or worth spending.
I'm very excited for this to go down on IMDb significantly when it drops, and that will be the reason that I, you know,
yeah,
win in all three categories.
This is going to end up being the movie that, like, Letterboxd is good with, but IMDb just hates this movie.
And it doesn't even look like Letterboxd is in love with it.
Yeah, but, like,
at least right now.
Yeah, Letterboxd has fun with this movie.
Yes. But yeah. I'm hoping.
Just wait, though, because now people are seeing the trailers, so they know what to expect.
Right. But so just for all of the fans who want to keep up with, like, where I have to be, I determined earlier, Rebel Moon Part 2 needs to be, like, in the upper 2 point whatevers, perhaps even 3, for me to win that first round. Because, like, you know, Challengers is going to be good. Civil War has been doing pretty good. You don't have a Rebel Moon Part 2 caliber stinker on your list.
No.
It's gonna drag me down.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous. I'm a little jittery.
I'm worried that Ungentlemanly Warfare could go down a bit, though.
I'm hoping.
Because I've seen some really mixed things.
I'm hoping.
And the trailer was so fun.
May you lose intensely. May I come out victorious.
That's not going to happen. Okay. Anyways.
Rebel Moon Part 2, everyone's favorite movie.
That's the other movie coming out this week.
Yes, on Netflix.
Yes. So.
Woohoo.
You ready for my prediction about this movie?
What's your prediction? It's going to be bad.
It's going to make 2.1. Or not make 2.1. Have a 2.1 on Letterboxd. Mm. First one has a 2.
First one has a 2?
Yeah.
Well.
Maybe it'll be a 2.2.
Well. Wow. Given the recent trend of part twos of space epics being better than the first one, I think that this is going to have a low rating. It's Rebel Moon. It's Rebel Moon part two, guys.
That's why I said it would be like 2.1 or 2.2.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the ones.
Really?
If it's in like the high ones.
Really?
It could happen.
I feel like that this
movie, I hope not.
This movie has to be slightly better than the first one.
Why?
Because the first one just like kind of set up this movie and that was the entire thing.
I do also think it has the benefit of like there are a lot of people who watched the first one who are not going to watch the second one, to where the people who are watching this are probably going to be more in line with the people who thought maybe a little higher of it.
True.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping.
You keep hoping.
I'm really holding out.
IMDb did not hate the first Rebel Moon, though.
What is the first one?
It
have?
Was like a 5.
Oh, okay. Something. All right, good. Yeah,
like you round up on Letterboxd, it would be, on IMDb, it would be a 6.
Okay, good.
So chances are Rebel Moon 2 will
Because I've
a
also
6
been going
IMDb.
Into this thinking that the IMDb score is going to be like a 4.5 ish. So if it's a good bit higher than that, I think I might be okay. Mm-hmm. I think I beat you.
I'm hoping I can somehow win the Instagram polls.
You can't, actually.
Why can't I?
Because I have challengers. We've been recording a long time.
We have been. We should probably end this
probably.
Episode. That way, when I edit, I don't go insane.
We can still joke around without having to do it on a podcast. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Later.